Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us this morning for our service on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. We're blessed to be together. You might notice the typo on the front of your bulletin that says it's the 9th Sunday, but it's actually the 11th Sunday. So just ignore that one for me if you would. Aren't we blessed to have a God who loves us, to have a God who provides for us so many things that we can so easily take for granted. And yet he continues to give and provide and care and love each one of us. And we're blessed this morning to have such a loving God who created us and who has us in the palm of his own hand. That's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in which he brings us together this morning. And for our worship today, we'll be blessed again by his merciful goodness in word and sacrament. Our service today begins with our opening hymn, which is hymn number 642. We also welcome those that are tuned in on the radio today on KSBK. We thank you for joining us as well that way, and those that watch online later, we're thankful that you joined us. Let's stand together, if you're able, and sing our opening hymn, which is O Living Bread from Heaven. We stand as the cross processes to the altar. Please stand up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 78. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. We continue by singing our Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Exodus in the 16th chapter, where the Lord provides for his people. We begin in verse 2 of Exodus 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite you to join us in our responsive psalm this morning, Psalm 145. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful in his words. Amen. All his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and
you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears the cry to save them.
The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Our epistle lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time we invite the congregation to join us in confessing our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite you now to join us in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn number 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 6 is where we focus in on these words. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And this whole text fundamentally about one key thing, motivation. See, it's the motivation of the people that Jesus questions as they come. He says to them in verse 26, you're seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. He knows their motivation, and he's quite aware that they aren't coming to him for him. If that makes sense. They're not coming to Jesus for the purpose of Jesus, right? But they have another purpose, and that's because they ate their fill. They're coming to him for bread. Think back with me for a moment to the Lord's Prayer. in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord teaches us to pray, to literally come to God and ask for, I'm sure you remember it, bread, right? Give us this day, he says, our daily bread. Like he wants us to come to him for what we need. But here in the text this morning, it seems that that was the wrong motivation for the people in John chapter 6. What's going on? Seems like a good thing that they're coming to him for bread. And it is, I guess, in one sense. But first, consider with me the meaning of this word that we say in the Lord's Prayer quite often. Give us this day our daily bread. The meaning of the word bread. What's going on there? Well, Luther helps us understand, saying in the Small Catechism on the Lord's Prayer, that the meaning of daily bread is basically everything that we need for this body and life. House, home, shoes, clothing, family, devout husband, devout wife, all of these things that we need all the time is what we're praying for. It's all summarized in the Lord's Prayer under this phrase, daily bread. God wants us and Jesus wants us to come to him for all that we need and all that we want. But here's the kicker. Jesus said something very important in our reading. And that's what we so easily miss about this whole discussion. And that's what the people in John 6 missed too. I am, just going to accentuate it a little bit. I am the bread of life. I am is the key part of what he's saying. To put it another way, there is a man behind our blessings. I am the bread of life, he says. That means God is the source and the giver of all those blessings, house, home, food, clothing, all those things, everything that we have. So what did the people in our gospel reading get backwards about their motivation? They came for the bread, not for the giver of the bread. They came for the blessings, not for the God behind them. And this is what's natural for us, because we're still dealing with sin and death, even in our lives of faith. It's still clinging on to us, trying to take over, trying to destroy us. We want the blessings. We want the bread. And we're not as concerned often with the God who gives it as we are to make sure that it keeps coming. But let me ask you this. Doesn't that mean that we're kind of in that scenario that I just described, kind of using God as a tool? Yeah, it would. It would mean that. Even though the scriptures tell us that we should love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, sadly, we often have naturally the wrong motivations. Just like the people in our reading, when they come to Jesus, they don't come for Jesus, but they come to Jesus to get something else. We often are doing the same thing. We'll use God, we'll use Jesus, we'll use the church, we'll use anybody, whatever, whomever, to get our bread, to make our lives better, easier. I think we all, and me included, need to examine our hearts on this. Is your relationship with God, is mine, is our relationship with Jesus simply a means to another end? Is there something you're after besides him? I mean, to have Jesus is to have everything. To not have Christ is to have nothing, and it will show. It will show in this world. In our text, in Jesus' words, listen to what he's doing, friends. He connects two things in his phrase, "I am the bread of life." He connects the blessing to the God behind it. He connects the blessings in your life and mine to the man, Jesus Christ. I am. There isn't just bread. There's a God who gives it. There isn't just family. There's a God who gives it every day. There aren't just homes or material blessings or shoes or clothes or any of the things that Luther mentions in the Catechism. There's a God who gives those things. That's the connection. And this is where sin, it causes us a disconnect up in our brains, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, that Jesus is reconnecting for you this morning and for me. I am the bread of life. Hear him. Listen to his words. I am the bread of life. And that connection that's inherent within the world and creation and everything that we see, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen in the things that are made, just like the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans. That connection reveals our true motivations, brothers and sisters. God is not penultimate. He's ultimate. Jesus is not a means to an end. He's not. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What does all this mean? Well, it means it kind of works exactly backwards of how we think it works. The normal progression of thought is this, okay? If I get in good with God somehow, some way, then maybe he'll bless me. I'll get the blessings. As if God exists fundamentally, or as if Jesus died on the cross to be a tool to get something else, to get beautiful things in this life. Fact is, it's the other way around. It works the opposite. The bread, the signs, the wonders, all of our blessings are meant for this reason, to bring people to the man Jesus Christ, the God behind the blessing, who's the source of all these things. Your God and my God is a real person. He's a real man. He's alive. I say it like this often. He has a beating heart. Jesus, resurrected. It's easy to think about God as somebody who's looking at us, waiting for us to be better people. You know, get it all right, or at least do better. And then we'll have cracked the code if we can figure that out. We'll solve the puzzle. We'll put the piece in the right place. And maybe he'll, maybe just a little bit, he'll be pleased with us if we can just stop doing this or that, or have a better attitude, or be happier, or fill in the blank. Well, then maybe he'll be happy. And his blessings maybe will flow to us. So in trying to be better people, we're constantly caught in a trap, in a tension of sorts, between trying to be better and what we truly love, which sadly for our sinful nature is pleasure. We want it to be easy. We don't want the troubles. But what if it doesn't work that way? What if that paradigm of Christian faith that's been propagated by ignorance isn't even true? And it's not how it works. Well, God sent me this morning to this place today to tell you that that's not how it works at all. How does it work, Pastor? God actually loves you. He actually does. The one who made heaven and earth and all things in it. The one who made the farthest star that the telescopes can see. That he's so big and so massive and so powerful. And he actually knows and loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. For all the things that would take us away from him. He sent his son to die. And what did we do? About that. That happened 2,000 years before you or I were ever even born. We didn't earn it. We didn't do it. It happened for us. And the fact is, we don't earn anything. Take it all the way. Go ahead. Take it all the way. We don't earn anything. It's all given by grace. Or as Luther also puts it in the Catechism, from his pure fatherly goodness. And the Apostle says it too in Ephesians, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest no one should boast. It is the gift of God. The fact is, our motivation is often quite wrong too, looking to use God to get something else, to make a better life, to build our own kingdoms in this world. We try to make him a part of our story with a selfish goal in mind. That's what Jesus said about the people's motivation in John 6. You come because you ate your fill. But consider this. There's a man who is God behind your blessings. A God who gives them. And he wants to give them. He wants us to ask for them from him, but he doesn't want us to lose sight of the inherent connection between him and them. I am the bread of life. I'm going to ad-lib it just a little bit here at the end. I am, talking about Christ saying this, not me, of course. I am your money. I am your home. I am your family. I am your children. I am your spouse. He is all in all. These blessings and gifts come from his hand each and every day in your life and in mine, and they exist to bring us to the giver, to show us his merciful heart towards us, his grace and his love towards us in Christ, that we might learn too. In our understanding and consideration of this, the right motivation for coming to him and trusting in him that whatever he provides is according to his good and gracious will. He's real. He's the one giving. How does he teach us this? How do we learn this? Amazing thing. Okay, it's just amazing. It amazes me. He does it the same exact way as he did in John chapter 6. They come to him for what? For bread. And he provides it once again. For you and for me. The bread which is his body, the true body of Christ. He institutes this blessed sacrament so that we might see what? That there's a God who forgives. There isn't just forgiveness. That there's a God who provides. There isn't just provisions. So that we can see his mercy again. So that we can see his heart. So that we can gaze upon his face and realize that he really loves us. And we can see that connection by his grace in this statement of Jesus. I am the bread of life. And it gives us a motivation, a drive, this bread, This faith, this word, this manna from heaven, it gives us a motivation and a drive to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it has nothing to do with earning status with God. It comes and it works its own appreciation and its own thanksgiving within our hearts. His love does that as he pours it out on us and all these blessings. I mean, counting our blessings is a monstrous task. That's him showing us who he is. And that gift works thanksgiving within us. And it pours out, like Jesus says. Streams of living water come bursting forth in our thanksgiving for the cross, for the resurrection, for the forgiveness. And he straightens out our thinking again. As Jesus said in the reading, when he was asked how to get into God's good graces by those people, he said, well, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent, in Jesus. So come, eat bread and drink from his table, and come, hear his word every week as often as possible, and be strengthened to trust the giver, the God behind all your blessings, that we might learn to trust whatever he provides, because he's real and it's him giving it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response this morning for our prayers is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you have provided for the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness to the land you had promised, give us confidence to trust in you and to look to your hand to provide all that we need for this life and for the life to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, your Son gives us the church, the office of the ministry, the preaching of your word, the love of our fellowship of other believers, in his own body and blood, that your people might be equipped to serve in thanksgiving and be built up into one body. Lord, remember in your compassion all who speak your word, whether it's in a pulpit or whether it's in the street or in a car or in a home or at a business. Lord, give them faithfulness and honesty in their teaching, that your children would see that same connection and trust in you for all things, and see that you're the one that's been giving those things, and that we'd be freed in that way from all deceit to speak your truth to one another in love and grow up in every way into Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, grant us true unity in the faith. Preserve each of us in pure doctrine. Grant harmony in our congregation, district, and synod, and bestow on us charitable hearts that put the best construction on what we see and hear, knowing that the worst construction is so easily available. Strengthen us in mercy towards one another and towards all people. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty One, you established civil government to be a blessing. To your mercy, then, we commend our president, our Congress, our justices and magistrates, and all who serve the public in any way. Keep them honest, fill them with wisdom, and uphold them in every good deed. Lord, in your mercy. Show your mercy, Lord, to the sick, the hospitalized, and all those in need today. Those that we have in the prayers of our church this morning, we name before you Janice Ross, Carissa Wright, Betty May, families of Michaela and Jayden Wright, Joe and his family, Echo Webb and her family, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Roomler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Gracious Lord, you've shown us once again, reminded us even of the connection between the blessings that we enjoy and you. Lord, provide all that's needed for those that we've brought before you today, whether it be doctors, medical professionals, nurses. Lord, whatever they may need, we ask that you give it to them for the sake of Christ. Lord, care for those who are in need of health and healing. And Lord, also care for those who do the health and healing, who are your hands and your feet to bring comfort and to take people from a place of pain and suffering and bring them to a place where they're better. Lord, bless them as well. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, you provided manna for your ancient people to sustain them in their wilderness. By your grace, you provide the living bread from heaven, the very body of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that endures to eternal life. Help us, Lord, to approach your table with thankful and contrite hearts, that we might receive your Son's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we come as the people tossed to and fro by the manifold changes of this mortal life. Help us to know in you that which is eternal, and give us confidence in what Jesus did for us, that we may rejoice with you, that you're always with us, and we always await your joyous appearing with all the saints. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we have the opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with in our times of tithes and offerings. This morning, as the offerings are collected and presented, our organist will play us an instrumental piece. Thank you. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin. And please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by his second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Christ Jesus. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.